continuation of Paul and his soldiering.
Yeah.
So you've come home.
Yeah.
You've knocked on the door. So did your mother and father know you were being demobbed even?
I don't know.
How would you have told? Did they have a phone?
No phone, no.
So how would they have known anyway then? Would you have written to them?
Oh, well, we did write, yeah, and you know me, we write, and that wasn't very often, yeah, but there was, Mum used to write, yeah, that's right. And she used to send me the Newmarket Journal every week.
Oh, right.
Which was really good, and I've told them down the journal office that the paper, Newmarket Journal nowadays, there's nothing like it used to be, and they said, what do you mean? I said Mother used to send me the Newmarket Journal every week when I was in Egypt. And I said it was full of newsy bits about Burwell. Somebody had been fined for no realoid on his bike. And
all right, all the nitty-gritty of life.
Yeah, but I said, you look in that paper this week, that's nothing about Burwell. And, well, I was told him anyway, so. Anyway, I come home and I got demobbed in April 1956. That was my 3 years. And being a regular soldier, I had to do 4 years on the Army Emergency Reserve.
Oh, right.
And then, this was April 56. In August 56, NASA nationalised the Suez Canal. So the Suez crisis was on, and I was one of the 20,000 reservists who was called up.
Oh, went back again.
Yes. And on August Bank Holiday 1956, the postman came to my door with a telegram, and it said, report immediately to Woolwich. My mate Ray got one as well.
So what about your jobs? You just had to leave.
And my mate Ray got one as well, so we went to Woolwich. And of course, that was more fun because we met people we'd been in the army with before.
Oh, right.
That's all called.
And, so it was like a reunion.
Yeah, it was. And I got, Ray for some reason got sent to Colchester, and I, with another about six or seven of us, got sent to the 7-2 Medium Regiment at Carlisle, which is another piece of luck. And we get on this head train at St Pancras. We got on the train anyway, and we went up to Carlisle, got met at Carlisle Station, and by an army lorry, and taken to the camp. And the camp, the whole regiment was preparing to move to Suez. And they were a medium regiment. That's a medium gun. And that's a gun tractor. And that weighs 16 ton, and the gun weighs about 9 ton.
What, and that would always pull it?
Yeah, or? That's what that. The crew cab there, then the ammunition and the stores are in the back. And I got there. The whole regiment was almost finished being painted yellow, desert colour.
Oh, right.
Desert camouflage. And I was there about a week while I was getting prepared. All desert coloured camouflage nets were supplied. And that, there was a big coil of barbed wire which went on the front of the, on there, all ready for war.
Oh, so yeah. That barbed wire would be used when you got there.
Yeah, that's right. That was the idea of it. And I hadn't been detailed to a troop or battery then, so I stood on the side of the square, and the sergeant major said, you go there. And I went with a gun crew to drive down with them, and the driver didn't turn up, so the gun number one, sergeant, I forget his name, lovely chap, said, can you drive? I said, yes. And I had the job, I've never driven anything big as that. I had to drive out from Carlisle to Southampton.
Blimey.
But we had, see, that was luck again. And when coming down, that wasn't, we stopped at Brentwood overnight. I think we was at Brentwood about a week, in the Essex barracks at Brentwood.
What, had all those people from that barracks already gone?
Yes, well, they wasn't in the barracks anyway, and we all come, the whole regiment stopped at Brentwood, and after about a week, the guns, the lorries and the guns and the other vehicles, there was 97 vehicles in the regiment. There was gun tractors, guns, the command posts, the observation post vehicles, which were half tracks. We went down to Southampton and got loaded up onto a ship called the Sanson. And it was a ship which had been commandeered for the army. And it was a grain, it smelt of rats.
Oh.
They used to carry grain. But they'd put bunk beds in. There was three high. There was a cold water shower up on the deck. And we loaded up on that. All this stuff, some went in the hold, some was strapped to the deck. And we was loaded up on this ship. Then it was a while before anything happened. So we was on this ship and cold water showers and food. We had food anyway. I don't know how they did cook it. And that was the ship. There was a whole convoy of ships in between Southampton and the Isle of Wight.
Just on the sea, just waiting?
Yeah, just wait. And the nearest town was Cowes on the Isle of Wight. And so about every 3 days, we was taken off this ship to Cowes. And there's a public bathhouse at Cowes where you could have a bath for a shilling. Up on that, I remember it now. That's not there now because I asked somebody. That was up on the hill. And it was lovely. And we had a time in Cowes and then we come back to that. And then, oh dear, the army, the invasion on Suez was the 4th and 5th of November. And about the 3rd of November, the rest of the ships went off and left us in Southampton Water. And apparently the crew had got drunk and messed the boilers up, so we had to wait for the boilers to be repaired. And by that time, the thing had stopped in Suez. It only lasted about 3 days. So we never went. Disappointed them. Yes, we never went.
Oh, so you spent your bit of the war on the sea in Southampton.
Yeah, disappointed. So we was on this here ship a little bit long, and then they took us off. This was in November. Then we went, mind you, this is in November, winter time. We went to Till's Head on Salisbury Plain under canvas. And this is almost all of November and the first week in December. Then they put us in some wooden army barracks, Carter barracks at Bulford, and I got demobbed again just before Christmas.
Did you get another suit when you were demobbed again?
No,
just sent home.
Just sent home, yeah.
All right.
So, but that was it. But it was. People complain about army service. When you was in it, you was moaning and groaning and this wasn't right and that wasn't right and hated that sergeant and that bombardier there. He was not a very nice sort of chap. But I've talked to people since and who didn't do it. Like, I think there was one chap in the village whose father brought him land. so it made him a farmer, so he didn't have to be called
up. So he got round the
call-up. Yeah, it's different. And another mate of mine, he was definitely a farmer's son, so he didn't have to go. And when you talk to them, that they feel a bit jealous because they didn't do it.
Oh, what, so they've missed out on something?
Because really, that was a hell of an experience for a 17 and a half year old.
Provided you came back.
Yeah, but all these chaps who are getting killed now, that they know they're going to war. You know, when you go to war, you're trying to kill each other, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that is a bit.
I mean, I think okay, war's war, and you know, people are going to get shot, etc. But I would have hated it if I'd have signed up for any of the forces and then I died from typhoid or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bit that I think...
Yeah, because there was a lot of First World War veterans in this village died of tuberculosis after the war.
Oh, all because of the trenches? Or?
Yeah, it could have been, because their names were on the war memorial, but when you check out where they died...
It wasn't in the war, it was...
They died at home, and the local doctor, Dr. Anion, signed the death certificates. So,
oh, right.
Yes, yeah, so that is my... And I was still in touch with my army mates, and I was still go on Suez Veterans reunions and Egypt and that, and it's really good.
So when you go to the Suez reunions, do you have the people from the Suez as well as from the people beforehand when you went the first time?
Some of them. They're all Suez veterans. And the Suez veterans come from the end of the war to the end of 1956. So takes in both.
Both sections.
But and some... that's ex-paratroopers or Cameron Highlanders, all the old regiments, Bedford and Hertfordshires and the Essex and Royal Artillery Service Corps, the engineers, everybody. But one interesting lady, I'm too much of a gentleman to ask the lady her age, but being the time she was out there, she must have been about 5 years older than me, and she was in the Queen Alexandra's Royal Army Nursing Corps, and she worked in as a sister, and she worked in army hospitals all over the world, and she even worked in a tented field hospital in the desert.
So did she train as a nurse in sort of civvy street, or did she join the army to become a nurse?
I don't really know. She was here last week. That's why you didn't come last. Was it last week? Yeah.
Week before,
yeah. She was here, because I said to... Is this being recorded?
Yep.
When we go on these reunions, you're sort of bragging about your village, you're bragging about the museum and how good the village is and what we've got, the Devil's Ditch, the church, the castle, everything. And she phoned up and said she'd like to come to Cambridge and see my village, and could I recommend a cheap hotel? And I said, well, if you don't mind roughing it, you can come here. And she did, and it was jolly good. She was here three days. I slept in there on a settee, and she slept
in your bed.
Had my bed. But she is ever so interested. And, I met her on Ely Station at 2 o'clock, and she wanted to see Ely Cathedral. So, and she didn't miss anything in there. She said, he's a crusader, because he had a little dog laying at his feet. This is sculpture or model or whatever it was, yeah. And things like that. And she also, I told her, different ones of hers as well, that we're pretty close to Newmarket Racecourse. And so she wanted to see the race horses. So we went up Warren Hill, and she was thrilled to bits seeing these horses galloping up the hill and marching back again, like the famous Duke of York. Yeah, that's a pity. This would be over this year, thing, but I don't know whether I won't see them all till November or something when we go to Cyprus, I think, this year.
Oh, so you've got your next holiday bit planned?
Yeah. That's sort of, I'm expecting the details of it any time now.
Right. So was that the only time you got recalled?
Yeah.
So you were. Did you ever sign on as a TA or anything after?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. I forgot that. I joined a TA in the Remy TA at Coldham's Lane. Remy is Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers.
Oh, right.
And I trained as a metalsmith, like a blacksmith, making stuff. And we went on a fortnight's camp. This was after I was married and got the kids, this was.
Oh, wait, so you had an extra holiday without them?
Yeah, been on a fortnight's camp at Folkestone just doing the training, and then another camp at the battle area at Thetford, and Pauline and the kids came out to that one. You know, we had an afternoon out there. Yeah, I'd done 2 years in the TA. And then I was on the general reserve until I was 45. Then I was too old to do anything. Yeah, the TA was good because they used to have a parade every once a week, and it was really a beer session.
So it wasn't like Dad's Army then?
Nearly. Yeah, and... that was just a sort of social thing. You couldn't do much training in, say, up past 7 or up past 9. You'd perhaps do a bit of first aid or something like that. And then we had weekends, several weekends on the rifle ranges and things like that. And lots of social activities. So, you know, get the mothers and children, car rallies they used to do and all this sort of thing. And... as I say, we'd done the two camps, Folkestone and the battle area here. And then that got altered, so the old TA... So to make that work, I don't know if we'd ever got called out, that would have been a shambles. You'd become an ever-ready. That's what they called them. Your call-out commitment was greater. If you signed on to be ever ready, you could get paid for it, but if you got called up, you'd have got to go.
Is it still that, you know, you just say to your boss the night before, by the way, I'm off for 3 months or whatever? Yeah.
Mostly, when I was at the brick company, Foyson's a big firm. They sort of joined in all this here. They allowed for men to be called up for TA and things like that.
Was that because of the war?
No, this was well after the war when I was in the TA, wasn't it?
Because because Foyson's were around in the war.
Yeah.
Is that why they already had previous experience of men going off? Or was it just part of their employment type thing?
Men had to go off. If you had somebody working for you, an 18-year-old, and he got called up for his national service, he'd got to go. And so, I'm not sure, but...
I'm always confused. If all the men have to go, does the factories or whatever have to halt production while they then get another new lot in and train them?
Yeah, during the war, the women took over then. Lots of photographs of women welders, women on lathes, and women.
Well, I mean, surely who was there to train them?
Yeah, that's a point. But I suppose, they would have been. Of course, the men who go, the younger men, and the older men, the more experienced men had already done their time. So,
oh,
that,
so they were there.
They'd be available to train
the new ones coming in.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, I think that's how it works.
Okay, so we shall stop the soldering then.
Yes.